Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. For your listening discomfort, displeasure, and exasperating sighs. I can just hear it now whenever I tell a lame joke on air. I can just hear the psionic. Vinny, fuck's sake. It's just a really bad joke, bro. It's a really bad joke. And I know that sometimes the jokes aren't funny. I know sometimes I get overexcited and I interrupt my guest. And it's important to note that when you're listening to somebody in the entertainment / information / propaganda industry, understand that they're a complex individual who has faults, is human, that kind of thing. So when they screw up, just like anybody does, just go, that was a pretty big screw up, Vinny. And I go, I know, I facepalmed at the time. And everybody can get on. Now that's another thing I've been looking about today. There's no guest today, in case you're wondering who's about to show up. Although I did just confirm with Santos Bonacci that he'll be on next week. That's going to be a great show there. He's going to explain a little bit about the syncretism, the flat earth, etc. And that's something that I've been hotly debating over the last couple of days across Facebook. And I'm trying to... All right, this is the first time that something's actually got my curiosity aroused. Not so much about whether or not the earth is flat or whatever. There's a possibility. It's in my possibility box. So is the round earth, so is the holographic universe. I don't possess the scientific know-how in order to figure out that kind of thing. Like, I didn't go to MIT or anything like that. That's the Manukau Institute of Technology. The thing about this is, you got, how am I going to say this? It's about tolerating others' beliefs, all right? Max Egan said this is all a test. All right, this whole big debating period that we're going through right now. I was just thinking about how many things are going on simultaneously. There's the TPPA, there's the US election. Goodness knows how much other stuff. And the thing that's dominating a huge section of the alternative media for some reason, blinding us to all else, is this flat earth, as if it's more important than everything else. Now, you know, the size of the concept, sure. Let's say it's true, might actually be of great importance. Does that mean we ignore everything else? Like, let's say you find out flat earth tomorrow. Do you feed your cat differently to a flat earth, in a flat earth, you know? No? Do you take your kids to school differently on a flat earth? No? Do you not trust any government agencies anyway, let alone NASA, regardless of whether or not they tell you it's blue skies and you'd have to actually check before you believe them? No? See, for me, personally, there's very little difference whether or not the world is flat or round in effect, because I've already come to the concept, the conceptual realization that most of the things I've been told are a lie anyway. So why wouldn't this one be a lie too that I've been told my entire life, just like everything else? You know, the problem is, I know that there's actually a number of different theories for this realm that we're living in. And as far as I can tell, nobody's actually quite proven which it is. There's still a mystery about what the hell we're living on. Isn't that amazing? We're in 2016, and scientists, people with satellites, and businesses, and everything like that, and people still don't know what it is we're living on. That is amazing. Ancient cultures knew what they were living on. It was a giant turtle swimming through the universe. I mean, obviously, bro. It was self-evident. Rocks like a turtle. Got, you know, hard stuff that we're walking on all over the place, just like a turtle shell. Of course it's a freaking turtle. It's a really big one, bro. ancient Māori thought that New Zealand was fished up. Like, that I'm living on a dead fish right now. And again, these are the myths and legends that people have come up with. You know, are we on a fish earth? Are we on a dick-shaped earth? Yeah. See, there's an interesting one. You didn't think about that one, did you? Why do you think the Milky Way looks like a giant reproductive organ? There's got to be some kind of other reproductive organ-shaped universal body out there to fuck it, isn't there? That's what I'm talking about. The real, deep, penetrating questions of our existence. That's what I'm after, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not scurry around the outsides. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. Because if you keep things in the shallow end, you're never going to quite learn how to swim. Now, that's a song reference for those of you who are in the know. But the flat earth versus the round earth. Now, I've just been monitoring it kind of like in an impartial way. This is how I research. I talk to people. Flat earth versus round earth. Now, it's just two groups of people that have a rigid worldview. One of them firmly believes it's flat. The other firmly believes it's a giant marble. Shaped thing. Okay. Now, what's interesting is that when you see these people interact on both camps, they both simultaneously ridicule and don't listen to one another. They ignore what each other is saying and ridicule them at the same time. Both sets of people doing this. And it's just like, whoa. How can you come to any kind of resolution in an argument that's based upon that kind of interaction principle, bro? And what's interesting is they're both actually aware of what the other person is doing. And they accuse them of what they themselves are doing as well. Okay, so this is why, personally, my money is on the holographic fractal universe at this point. All right? Until such a time as I see a better theory that explains why I keep saying the same endless repeating patterns of the same shit everywhere I look. Okay? Got a better theory that explains that? I'm totally all ears. Right? This is the reason why I got so interested in scumbaggery. Came up with my theory of fractal scumbaggery. Theory goes that if you look into some kind of instance of scumbaggery, you'll find out that there's a scumbag that appears elsewhere, and that will lead you on a path to discover all new forms of scumbaggery. Unbelievably and inexplicably connected again and again to other scumbags and other new, interesting and dark forms of scumbaggery. Fractal scumbaggery. It's endless. That's why I made my career to expose scumbaggery. Because I know that I've got job security. You know, it's not like we're going to run out of scumbaggery, is it? I've got job security. Just keep telling yourself that, Vinny. I mean, sweet mercy. What's gotten to me is it's like, you know how when truthers split from their family, first of all, and they get really aggressive with them and that kind of thing, because they're letting go of a worldview that they no longer share with their family, and their family thinks they're nuts, right? It's the same thing that a lot of the mainstream alternative media truther community is now doing to the flat earth community, okay? And vice versa. Now, the question is it a psyop? What is a... And I love it how people use the word psyop. They don't know what the word means. Don't know what the word shill means. I mean, seriously. When you're listening to somebody, you go in and you make an assumption and a deduction about what you're going to hear and what you're going to see. But it's unfortunate that you will stop listening long before you've actually heard what they're saying. Isn't that the great problem that we're dealing with inherently? Isn't that the massive evidentiary symptom of a sick and unthinking society, that we would put a lot of really important issues, you know, things that actually make a huge difference, on the side in order to discuss this one? Now, perhaps this is the reason why a lot of people in the mainstream truth community have started to hit out and attack and ridicule the flat earthers. Because, hey, it's just so easy, you know, it's like easy targets. What kind of funding does the flat earth movement have, and so on and so forth? What kind of moral support do they have? They've got nothing. They're defenseless, right? So you start acting like bullies towards them, which is the same thing that happened to you, which made you become a truther in the first place and derided you away from your family and kind of left you all alone and really depressed and angry and sort of lashed out at people on all the time and started trolling people because it's the only way you could get your frustrations out. Any of this sounding familiar? See, it happens to all of us. And I don't know, maybe it's like a Generation X and a Generation Y thing, but except it's an Enlightenment thing. Not saying the flat Earth's absolutely true, but if you're coming to the point where you're actually questioning whether or not the Earth is flat, you've come to question just about everything that there is. You don't trust authority. You think most of them are just liars, and you're right. But just because almost everything that is a lie doesn't mean that absolutely everything's a lie. There must be some things that are true, surely. But you can't just kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's like people try to jump to conclusions. It's like when there's breaking news. They say, well, we're just getting these reports in here. What reports are you getting in? Some kind of crash, mate. Yeah? That's all the information you got. Yeah, mate, some kind of crash. This is breaking. You're interrupting the news with, quote, some kind of crash. Uh-huh. Right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There has been some kind of crash. And we will bring you continuing updates on this story as it develops. And as it develops over the next hour, they say, well, we found out that some kind of crash was maybe a little bit too vague. And further information has come forward that there was actually a vehicle involved. my God. Every time I hear weather reported on the news when it's not part of the weather report, car crashes reported in the news when they're not, and it's not news, we can't stuck up a tree. Every tenant that has a strange squabble with their landlord for a weird reason, you know, just dull, boring, uninteresting, okay? It's like, I'm looking for harder stuff, okay? Tap my veins and give me some pure truth, all right? Crush it up on a mirror for me with a credit card and let me snort that truth, all right? I want it hard. I want it in my veins. There's a very, very good reason for that. Because if you avoid the truth and you avoid going into it a little bit too deeply for too long, it gets so that you can't even handle it at some point. Some people wake up to a certain degree of things and then they carte blanche the lot. They go, okay, boom. I understand enough, this is all my brain can handle. It's like, no, that ain't all your brain can handle, bro. You can handle a lot more. Trust me, you can. Because I once thought that I couldn't handle any more, but here I am, learning every day. Even an old kung fu master knows there's even more to learn about kung fu, despite the fact that he's a master. That's what the journey is about. That's what the pursuit of truth and enlightenment is about. How exactly are you going to pursue truth and enlightenment by prejudging the people you haven't listened to? And assuming what they say instead of hearing them? Okay? This goes for everybody. The arguments that I've seen are ranging from vitriolic to amicable. And I like to talk about the amicable conversations that I've been witnessing and participating in. Because what's funny is that if you're actually a pure truth seeker like me, getting into a fight with a flat earther is a piece of cake. Getting out of a fight with a flat earther and letting them know that you're not even there to get into a fight at all. At all. They started it right away. As soon as I make one comment that even mentions the flat earth that isn't in full support of it, they get real angry at me, right? But then I explain that that wasn't my intention and that's not what I believe. I just base all these assumptions, etc. And then they go, oh, okay. Well, what then? See, and it just, as soon as you annex that perceived persecution, right, just get rid of it, okay? You're not being persecuted. You're not being attacked. You're not being criticized or anything like that. So what you do when you're a conversationalist, when you like engaging in and are good at conversations, like me, you talk to people about stuff. That's how you learn. You don't learn by getting abused and attacked, other than not going to talk to this person or listen to what they have to say. If that's the lesson you're teaching, then perhaps you need a lesson in teaching lessons. But some of them, very few I might add, straight off the bat, are non-confrontational, totally reasonable, right? Those are the ones I really like to talk to. And you know what's funny? Those are the people who choose to participate in the threads the least, because usually the threads are occupied by one of the crazy branch of the flat earth or non-flat earth variant, all right? There are crazy people on both sides, and there's plenty. In fact, overwhelmingly, the number of people is actually reasonable. That's why there aren't thousands of people participating in these arguments that have in groups that have thousands of members, because they take one look at this horrible, vitriolic, nasty comments and things back and forth down these endless comment streams over days with hundreds of thousands of entries. Just unfreaking believable. It is a life-sucking abyss. And so they refuse to participate in it. And in so doing, they kind of become blind to it after a while. They're not participating in the debate anymore. That's what a psyop is. That's what agents do. All right? They come in, they infiltrate both sides, throw bloody Molotov cocktails at each other, and everybody else gets burned and walks away from the protest. Boom, protest is over. Everybody's disbanded because they're so disgusted by what everybody's doing that they don't want to participate in it anymore. And you get to study psychologically what happens to these people, and you get to refine your battle tactics when the time comes to manipulate them with something else again. It's like when you're doing a movie sequel. If you're going to say, the president got shot, man, that's a pretty big thing to cover up, boyo. But if you're saying the space doesn't exist and there's a glass dome over the planet, that's pretty huge as well. There's a hell of a lot of really, really big questions out there that can be answered if you actually had the training to already know the answers and or be able to set up devices, experiments, and understand the equations and the results that those devices give to you after the experiments. We don't have an overwhelmingly scientific or religious or educated mass of people out there. It's just not the case. education, it's basically dumbed everybody down. That's what it's done. And so the only people who are actually educated are often those who educated themselves, largely. People who could think for themselves, people who are independent. Those are people that I usually consider quite educated, because often they realize that if you're going to learn anything, you have to learn from the master, or you have to learn firsthand. You can't sit in a frickin' classroom and learn about reality. You actually have to be out in the real world learning about it with your hands, with your mind, with your experience. Believing something that you haven't seen, cannot verify for yourself because you lack the knowledge or the expertise to even ask the question and answer it, means you wind up leaning on a crutch of other people to do the interpretation for you. And because you don't know what the qualifications they have actually are, and what they would even mean if they told you that they had them, even if they gave you answers to questions that you didn't know the answer to, how would you know that the answer was correct? How would you know that their astrophysics calculations are correct? You see, we're all operating in this planet, and this was the very intention from the beginning, I think, on a state of perpetual specialized ignorance. All right, we have a specialization, therefore we have an overabundance of ignorance. What do you do? I'm a doctor. Oh, okay. So you're not a mechanic, you're not an engineer, you're not a computer programmer, you're not a barista, you're not a writer, you're not a journalist, there's infinite amount of jobs that you're not. In fact, there's only one job that you have, and you are not anything else. Seeing like somebody might say, oh, but I play a little bit of guitar in my spare time. Right, so you're a guitar player and a doctor. That's two out of how many professions are there on Earth? Okay. See, this is what I'm talking about. The world keeps working, right? Your society hasn't just collapsed. It's collapsing nice and slowly because it's intentional that way. So the system works perfectly for the people who are controlling it. It just don't work for us. Because it's a lie, and it's full of scumbaggery, and it's unfair. So what do we need to do about it? This is the question everybody seems to ask. You know, what do I do about it? As if it's a rhetorical question. As if somebody can actually give you the answer. When I say you listening to this, are sitting somewhere. Maybe you're standing on this planet, listening to the show. You have your own experiences. You have your own life story. You have your own destiny, your own potential. Nobody can answer that question for you. And it's the same thing with any concept that people start to adopt a belief in. You only have beliefs in the absence of knowledge. Do you believe the Earth is round? You only believe that because somebody told you. And you couldn't verify it for yourself because you didn't study astrophysics, etc., in order to learn the equations, in order to prove for yourself after taking a whole bunch of measurements with some sophisticated instruments that it is what they say it is. None of us have done that. If we had, debate be over in a heartbeat. But there isn't an overabundance of qualified professionals that come forward and do this kind of thing when a subject is new. After a while, and I found this with Andrew Bishago's case, when he's talking about the time travel and the jump room programs, etc., back in the 70s when he was a child. That when he first came out talking about this on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, nobody believed him. But after he came out, a whole bunch, well, maybe not a whole bunch, but a number of people who actually were in the same program as him came out afterwards to verify certain elements of his story, say that they'd witnessed certain things that he said he'd witnessed but couldn't provide the evidence for. that kind of thing. So it's important that there are people to stand up and point out these very interesting anomalies about the Earth, about how sunbeams come down on the Earth at different directions through clouds when the sun's like a billion miles away or something, whereas they would all go straight. There's a number of things that the Flat Earth documentaries and people have been saying that actually does pose a number of interesting questions. Not going to deny that. That's what I've been saying from the beginning. If anybody'd been freaking listening without judging before commenting on the YouTube comment section. I woke up this morning after posting a video about an interview that I did with Max Egan about the Flat Earth PSYOP. As I just explained, it's just, you know, a bunch of people who are infiltrating and throwing words at each other and getting a whole bunch of people riled up and then watching how it works and then devising different other divisive strategies that can be employed afterwards in order to make people go at each other's throats. Okay, that's a PSYOP. And you will admit that that's exactly what's freaking happening, isn't it? Doesn't mean that the Earth ain't flat. What it means is this Flat Earth revival, this all of a sudden big hype of it, and the aggressive way in which it's being conducted is the PSYOP part of it. You see, you gotta... I wish that there were people who listened to that and didn't tune out at the time, because it challenges people's beliefs for a second, and then it actually confirms them the next second. That's the most interesting part about life, I've found. So many things that I thought I disagreed with, I actually agreed with, and so many things have just come to be nothing when I made them out to be everything. The thing that comes into relation with that is being really sure without being able to prove it. It's the reason why you get so angry. It's because you don't really know. It's like bluffing at a it's like putting on a facade. Maybe you're trying to intimidate somebody out of questioning you. Or whatever. You know, people forget that we still have a lot of really primitive behavioral patterns that we haven't grown out of yet. You know? I mean, have you ever seen a YouTube video in your life? Do you have any idea how much, really, incredibly, unbelievably, extortionately foolish people there are who are broadcasting nonsense, just their daily life, as though it is something that matters? Why do we put up with that kind of nonsense? Why indeed? We have more important things to do we not? Apparently not. No. They just don't care. People have gotten themselves into a mindset where they're trying to pick a side. Whereas I find that the best thing to do is just pick your own side. Okay? I'm not going to show loyalty to an idea. Okay? Really, I don't show loyalty to ideas, because as soon as somebody comes up with a better idea, I abandon the last one, just like that. Kind of like with facts and evidence. I don't have an emotional attachment to them, because when you're emotionally attached to lies, you start to hurt people for the wrong reasons. Usually yourself. Not a good idea. If you do practice discernment, you need to practice patience. It's like I'm talking about that breaking news thing. Whenever I hear a breaking news story, I'm like, okay, man, this is gonna take a while for the information to come out. I'll start checking up that story next year. That's what I do sometimes. I'll hear about like some false flag terrorism attack and all the stuff like is all over the news, and I'm like, ugh, give me a break. I'll wait until the full facts come out, and then later on, I wait. And the full facts, funnily enough, do come out, not on the first freaking day, so I didn't waste all my time paying attention to things that weren't even freaking confirmed or matter yet. And then it turns out that most of my assumptions straight off the bat a year ago when it happened were correct anyway. I didn't waste my time being distracted by emergency, by emotion, trying to unplug my brain. It needs to be engaged. That's why I run this show in such a way where you kind of have to have a bit of patience in order for it to work on you. You have to have a sense of humor in order for it to work on you. You have to have an open mind in order for it to work on you. This is not a place for people who are part of the mainstream. They're not going to get it. They can't. Heck, if I'd listened to this show 10 years ago, I would have thought I was crazy. You see, it's not for the uninitiated. So if you're listening to the show and you've actually been listening to the show and continuing to listen to this show, it speaks really well of you. Because the amount of diverse topics that we've come here, it takes a very special kind of person to be able to sit there and listen to all of those differing and, in some cases, contradictory points of view. But in order to reach the truth, that is what we must do. That's why I like my audience. That's why I've got loyalty to my audience. Because they appear to have loyalty to the truth. Not because you got loyalty to me. I can give a fuck if you got a loyalty for me. If I start turning into some kind of scumbag, if I start lying, like really bold-faced lies, you know that I've been compromised. I don't know. Doesn't matter what if it's some kind of like mystical, really far off kind of conspiratorial reason. He's been cloned. He's been possessed by a demon. It doesn't matter, right? If you can still see the symptomatic warning signs that somebody's been compromised, that they might have been threatened or blackmailed, and they're no longer able to actually tell the truth and no longer themselves. Frickin' expose me. You know, please. You have any idea how dangerous I would be if I was working for the dark side? Those people are frickin' nuts. And I'm even crazier. You're just lucky they don't have me on my side. We'd have a field day with you people. I mean, my goodness, I'm beating the New Zealand Herald by myself. Can you imagine what I could do if I was in charge of a $1 billion CEO, a frickin' multinational corporation that was willing to lie, cheat, and steal in order to get the audience? So it's the only reason why I'm not one of the most popular shows on the web is because I'm not willing to lie or manipulate or cheat or steal people's big Facebook pages and things like that. You know, I've had that kind of stuff happen to me, and I can't do that. I just can't. And so I've been growing very, very slowly and gently because I refuse to compromise. Okay? I don't think that rapid expansion is a good idea a lot of the time. I've seen it happen before when people get given everything they've ever dreamed and everything they've ever asked for, and then they've got nothing because they were given all of that. They didn't earn it for themselves. They got nothing to fall back on if they fall out of favor with the wrong people. That's how you know that people can be compromised. Do they absolutely need the people that they're working with in order to do their job, or are they just working with them for the pleasure? All right, that's why I'm on American Freedom Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is why. For years, we've been telling everybody the things that they just don't want to know. And copping heaps of flack from both sides of the aisle. Mainstream hate us. Alternative media hate us. It's just, yeah, that's how you know we're telling the truth. Because we don't give a fuck what either of them think. I mean, is that not exactly the media you need? Is that not what you want? Are we not giving it to you time after time with really great stuff? Man, I find it really strange, and I never actually experienced this before, because I used to listen to a lot of talk radio in the car when I was driving around back in the day when I was a douchebag driving around salesman scumbag, various other kinds of bag, and God, disgusting, being a slave for somebody else. I know a lot of you still are, but it was good to get out of that. But I was never used to hearing a good radio show that, not necessarily that I agreed with, but was thought-provoking, really actually made me feel or something, or made me think about something quite intensely and leave an impression. And then have it be followed by another show that basically did the exact same thing, but in a different way, right? Until I heard about American Freedom Radio. That's one of the coolest things about it. And just recently I had another experience where I said the same thing. Rush FM here in New Zealand, rushfm.co.nz for the Kiwis. They've got transmitters and stuff all over the place. Check out their transmitter list, bro. It's a really good station. Because after like almost every other song, and all the songs I listen for hours on end, and all the songs are good in their own way, and they're like multi-genre, and it's very kind of like truther type, kind of uplifting sort of thing. And then they've got little snippets in between the songs, like little one-minute truther sound bites. Could Jordan Maxwell on there, Terrence McKenna, and... all sorts of other really funny quips and quotes and things of that nature, right? And that's what we need. But because they're unwilling to lie to you and manipulate you to tell you that, oh, there's some kind of fear of scarcity. If you don't donate to us, we're going to go off the air. In order to get you to part with your cash in a disingenuous manner. They don't grow as fast as these big multinational corporations full of lying filth do. Neither do we. See, that's the thing that I've I came to terms with and got used to, that you can make a hell of a lot of money by selling lies to people and manipulating them, but I don't want to. I would like to make a lot of money giving people the truth, giving them something that actually helped them, made them feel better, that didn't actually cost them anything, wasn't hard for them to get, was free, was easy. And that's what I'm doing. And I don't care about the money. If I did, I'd be making $20,000 a month, as I did 8 years ago, when I quit my job to come and do this stuff for free. All right? Some of us ain't in it for the money, but that doesn't mean we don't need it. Doesn't mean we don't have roofs over our heads. Doesn't mean that we don't have to pay for our internet. Doesn't mean that we don't have to pay for our food. Doesn't mean that we don't want to take our wife out to dinner on their anniversary or something like that. There's a lot of truthers are struggling out there, man. But people are easy to manipulate, right? You might think that that's pretty easy to believe because there's a hell of a lot of silly people out there. But you know what's strange is that I found that really intelligent people are also quite easy to manipulate, if you know how. And I've seen it happen, man. I've seen some very, very brilliant people just be turned and never come back. Right, I think we're all susceptible. But what's good about telling the truth and having a track record of doing so is that you don't actually have to make any excuses. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone. People donate and American Freedom Radio stays on air. The Vinnie Eastwood Show stays on air. I keep going out and exposing scumbaggery and attending protests and stuff like that. This is fun. For me, it's fun for you to listen to as well, a lot of the time, isn't it? Why exactly are you unwilling to go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, click on that little PayPal thing, or like sign into your internet banking for the Kiwis and just type in those little numbers and stuff like that. I mean, how long you've been listening to, what's it worth to you? You know, what's American Freedom Radio actually worth to you? Because we're often, I see people getting ploughed in front of the television, like just ploughed, just having their minds raped by advertising, just in the face. Just, it's horrible, man. Horrible. It like started to, it starts to irk me. Even before the ad break has finished, it started to irk me somewhat, right? And I'm like sitting here, and I'm 40 minutes into an uninterrupted rant that you don't have to pay for, right? Do you feel annoyed? Then it's me. It's not the fact that the me you love is constantly getting interrupted that's annoying you. And there's so many shows out there who do it. They do it ruthlessly because they're after the money. There's no problem with making money, but if that's the only reason you're really in for it, if that's the main reason that you're in for it and the truth comes second, I don't think that's it's an acceptable compromise, really. I mean, I would rather tell the truth and have it cost me money than lie and make money off of those lies. All right? That's why I'm so pathologically honest. Because I am that committed to the truth that I'm willing to make sacrifices, shall we say, so that I can keep speaking it. All right? Not the first person in history to have done this. Put their, you know, livelihoods aside, all their life's aspirations and everything like that, and commit themselves to something fully because it just needs to be done and there ain't nobody else really doing it. I'm not the first person to do this. I certainly won't be the last. And I'm glad that I have the ability to do this. When so many do not, it's a grueling task for some. There's two types of people in this world. Those who achieve great ends and do well because they work really hard, diligently, and they challenge themselves, and they're committed to it. And the others do it just because they're talented. I just have a talent for this. It's the truth that I have trouble, that is the hard thing to commit to. It's the truth that you have to make sacrifices for. Not talking on talk radio. I could do this in my sleep. And I actually do talk in my sleep. I'm going to get the missus to actually record me talking in my sleep. Sometimes I say the weirdest stuff. I remember one time I woke up and I said, "Baby, baby, they're in the house. They're in the house." She said, "What?" She goes, "Oh, he was sleeping." Just classic stuff, you know. But I digress. It went off on a bit of a tangent there. Oh, my God. Now, entertainment. Have you noticed how much of your free time entertainment takes up? And how much per day are we spending entertaining ourselves versus informing ourselves? This is an interesting question, isn't it? Hey, mate, do you watch TV shows anymore? Yeah, I do. Okay. Do you still watch movies? Yeah, I do. Do you play video games still? Yeah. How often do you spend watching Truth or Documentaries every day? I don't. Not every day, no. Well, very rarely? Yeah, quite rarely. How often do you listen to somebody else's radio show? Barely ever. Well, mate, that's not good, is it? You see? Kind of works out like that. Where's your mind going? And that's me, by the way. You know, I watch movies, I play video games, I spend too much time on Facebook. You know, I'm terrible. Not an example to follow, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes I say some real cogent shit. That doesn't mean I'm the frickin' Messiah. Oh, Messiah! I found his shoe! Where exactly is people's discernment, right? I love it how you've got a lot of independent people that listen to this show. A lot of independent business owners, actually. Small business owners and things like that. And a lot of people who are actually professionals and they work for a living. And people who got skills, you know. And I was just wondering, it's like, what's everybody else's excuse? Because I've looked in some of the comment sections and things like that of rival talk radio shows, and oh my god, just hurts me in my brain places, bro. Just hurts me. How many easily led people there are out there, even people who think that they're not asleep anymore, you know? Oh, I've woken up. 9/11 was an inside job. That's the most profound thing I've ever seen in my life. Everything's a lie. You've seen nothing yet. You know, you wait until you start studying into the dark occult or fractal universe theory and quantum mechanics, so on and so forth. You know, there's just a bazillion topics of that you currently know nothing about when you first wake up, that you're not even aware of the existence of, and you think that you're already enlightened because you got woken up to one really big, really incredibly straight in your face obvious lie that you didn't see 10 years ago. Lord, save me from the simple-minded. You know the worst part about being more intelligent than the average person is? You realize how dumb the average person is. And it hurts you. In your brain places. Oh, God. Do it with me now, ladies and gentlemen. Do the Vinnie Eastwood sigh. Oh, my God. See, one more time. In 3, 2. Oh, my God. It's just painful, isn't it? You know what it's like to be more intelligent than the average person. I know you do, because somebody who's more intelligent than the average person is the only kind of person that's actually able to listen to the bloody quagmire of incredibly incomprehensible shit that gets talked about on this radio show sometimes, man. You know? Congratulations. You're in the upper percentile, bro. You're not Rupert Murdoch. But you do have some great, great media choice. All right. Thank you very much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I do enjoy it very much. I hope you do too. And I'm just ranting today because I couldn't get Santos Bonacci on. And that's the honest truth of it. And I spent all day arguing with people on Facebook about all sorts of stuff. And I came up with some really great statuses and everything like that. Go check out Vinnie Eastwood on Facebook and then just go down the threads and start reading some of the things there. You will learn a ton about the human condition. Watching me argue with people on Facebook. Oh, God. Oh, God. And also, remember that when you are reading those threads, remember I'm doing it in my usual manner, like I am right now. I'm all jovial and fun and slightly dick-like, you know? Just a good, clean man. The funnest talk radio show host there is. Able to ramble at a moment's notice for like 2 hours straight without batting an eyelash. This is my promise to you, ladies and gentlemen. We will always be here to deliver the truth and give you exactly what you want, exactly what you need. But, you know, thing is, it's a symbiotic relationship. We need you to listen to us. You want to listen to us. Just got to ask you for something every now and again. Please, chuck a little bit to American Freedom Radio. Chuck a little bit to me. Monthly, preferably, on a constant, consistent basis. If you listen consistently, donate consistently. If you can't, because you're like most of the other New World Order slaves out there that have the jackboot of the money system around your neck so tight with debts and rent and all these bills and everything that keep consistently going up no matter what the season it is. Don't donate, okay? Because we know what that's like. But you can Use the only resource that you have left available to you is your time. We really value your time listening to us. We really value the time you take to like and subscribe to our channels, to share the links to the radio shows, the links to the archives pages around to other people, to email them out to others, to even talk about, you know, with your friends about American Freedom Radio and introduce other people to this platform. You don't understand how massive a value that has, okay? I remember a story I was told in high school that there was this young boy and he'd been bullied an awful lot, like an awful lot. And I really empathize because I got bullied an awful lot for being fat. And I'm still fat and I can't freaking seem to shake the bastard. Anyway, this kid was going to commit suicide, right? So you're walking home one day and he's going to go home and he's going to kill himself. But this one other kid noticed he looked really sad and came up and talked to him and said, are you okay, bro, and that kind of thing, and just showed, even for a moment, that he cared, right? And the kid decided not to commit suicide. That kid went on to be the leader of the school, right? The head student or whatever it is, class president. At the very end of that, and he made a speech about this time with this one person that he didn't even know, saved his life. Okay? Now, this is the sort of thing that gives me hope. That it doesn't matter that there's only one of you listening right now and actually really hearing it and actually being inspired by it enough to change your life today. Okay? That doesn't matter. That's actually good that there is at least one person who will change their own life, who would be, you know, benefited in some way because of listening to the show and some of the stuff that it gets talked about on these airwaves on American Freedom Radio. That's the goal. It's not to milk you dry. It's not to just provide advertising revenue. Okay? You're worth more to us than that. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what creed. There's only one religion, and that's freedom. And there's only one race. It's the human race. And we're all brothers and sisters at the end of the day. And I think the human race deserves a network that recognises that fact. You know, just taking a stab in the dark here, so to speak. I mean, I love, like, getting back on the flat earth issue. I got in there and I just kind of started getting attacked. Like, I ain't even said anything. It's like, it's like, oh God, it's like I turned up at a Black Lives Matter rally wearing a Ku Klux Klan outfit or something, bro. It's just persecuted, you know? I felt like I was going to be strung up. I was just like, how are you going to hang me, though? There's no gravity, bro. See, I'm not mocking, we can make jokes about each other and stuff like that, you know. Like, I remember this one time I had Santos Bonacci on the show, and I told an Australian joke about him, and then he told a New Zealand joke about me, and we both cracked up laughing, because they're actually good jokes, objectively. So, you know, we can't take ourselves too seriously, let's just have a laugh, and quite frankly, I hope everybody gets that lesson down good and proper reasonably quickly, because mate, the life that we're living in this day and age, pretty freaking serious, isn't it? And we could do with a few laughs. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, and we'll be right back after the break. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live for your listening pleasure 2 days a week. Now, daylight savings coming up in New Zealand. It comes up every year, I suppose. But, yeah, there's always time zone switches and things like that during those times. So, Kiwi listeners, US listeners, if you do listen to those live streams, please check them out. However, I understand that because we're all living different lives and it's hectic, etc., that a lot of people do turn to the archives. So that's why they're there. Because honestly, it's impossible to calculate how many people are actually listening to the live audience, the live shows. And in some cases, I don't even know. Really at all. It's very strange when you think about it. Because let's come down to... Let's come down to what it actually means to be a journalist. Right? A journalist actually has a very simple toolkit. It's like, okay, you're just going to tell the truth and stuff like that, and at least give both contesting parties the chance to have their say. And the other side of it is just you have to ask the right questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Those basic things. Very simple toolkit to have for discerning truth. Scientists, on the other hand, they have to deal with the physical world. It's not just about information with them. They have to have replicatable experiments with identical results in controlled environments with a controlled group to contrast. All right? It has to replicate the exact same process every single time in order for it to be reported as a fact. See, when a journalist wants to report something as a fact, they just need three sources who aren't really related who confirm the exact same thing. Okay, then you can just be comfortable that, all right, it's true enough, out it goes. But it's just best guess. And so is science. They don't know why the element reacts with the acid exactly the way that it does. They couldn't actually explain the process to you, maybe, on a chemical level. They just know that it does that particular thing. They wouldn't be able to exactly explain why. They just know that it does. Kind of like, you don't exactly know why when people get really drunk, they choose to get on Facebook and try to enter into serious debates. And in a very obnoxious and annoying way. You don't know why they do that. But they just do. God. Man. Stoners out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Hey, really, really, really sick of the people who were just obsessed with their alcohol. You know? Who actually let it affect their behavior to the point where they just get so freaking annoying that you just can't handle it. Right? But I suppose that's a universal thing, not just to stoners. Now, I say that, and it's an affectionate term, all right? Stoners is like is drinkers, you know? Do you think me calling you a drinker is insulting? No, it's just a fact. And I've had this many, many times. They're just stupid. And it's often in the middle of the night as well. Now, does that not strike you as a sad individual? It's the middle of the night, they're at home by themselves, at a computer, really drunk, arguing with people. Yeah. Let's let that sink in for just a second. Yes, that's what I thought. Utter. Just not the kind of person that's worth your time. Right? You just say, okay, well, clearly you're not up for this conversation, bro. I'm going to go over this way now. You know, you don't need to insult them or be mean or anything. But they don't deserve your time. There's so many people that don't freaking deserve your time, aren't there? More by the day. You ever notice that the people who don't deserve your time the most are often the people that just shoved in your face? The election. Like, I haven't even been following the election really at all. At all. Because I just see just crap all the time. I don't care. This is the first election where I've decided that I don't care who's going to win. It doesn't matter, right? I mean, the last election, it was exactly that way. But that was different because I knew who was going to win. Obama, of course he's going to win. He started new wars. I mean, every president starts new wars in order to get re-elected. I mean, it's America, goddammit. This is just a waste of time. I mean, there's a split dichotomy that's not entirely dissimilar from the flat earth thing between the people who believe that voting is a good idea versus the people who do not. Both are unwilling to listen to each other, and both are ridiculing each other, and both are blaming each other, right? And again, just like on the flat earth thing, I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm wondering, what's the difference here? Last time that you voted, did a tyrannical president who lied about everything and didn't keep any of their election promises get voted in by chance? Yeah? Last time you didn't vote, by chance, was there some kind of person of exactly the same ilk that got voted in anyway, despite the fact that you're not voting? Yeah? Yeah? Then what's the difference, you know? Other than semantically, you know? Well, you semantically didn't give your consent. Oh, right, right. Suddenly the laws don't apply to you and you can just walk out of there. Hey, I'm going to give you this traffic ticket. No, you can't. I didn't vote. Hey, you have to pay these taxes. I don't have to pay them, actually. I didn't vote. The difference between not verbally consenting is like silence is consent. You do realize that? Not voting is silence. So you are actually consenting more than anyone else in the voting process, technically. Right? That's something I've only just realized right now, live on radio. And that is a huge realization, because I've just been thinking about this bloody voting dynamic for quite some time. And just thinking about what could I do that was more worthless. But it turns out that not voting is the more worthless of the two. It also requires the less effort of the two. And I've always maintained, fuck the voting process. I mean, what do you do during the 1,000-odd days or whatever there is between elections? You know? Are you exposing scumbaggery? Are you holding those politicians to account? Are you ambushing them on the street with your iPhone and telling them that they're a piece of shit for not keeping their election promises and telling them that they should suck your balls? Okay, no? Then shh. With your non-voting, right? People are real proud of stuff that didn't take them any effort to do. Just because they think they've got a good reason for not doing anything. I mean, I don't want to insult anybody. But I guess I already have. So we'll go right ahead. And we'll just say it's not a very well thought out plan. The whole not voting. If everybody just didn't vote, we'd be sweet ass. No. There's 100 steps in between that. Okay. Think about right now, you're at some point in your career. And there's some kind of dream or some kind of pinnacle of achievement in your mind. Put it up there, right? And go, okay, that's where I want to be. That's all the way up there. And you look down at your feet and you go, okay, what's the next step? How do I get from this point here, let's say I've got 100 steps to do, how do I get all the way up there? That's how you got to kind of think about yourself. I'm going to set really long-term goals that are abridged by hundreds, maybe even thousands of little tiny goals. Those goals can be quite simple. It's actually doing the right amount of work that day, actually talking to your kids or taking them out for a walk or getting your exercise in or going to the gym or whatever the hell it is that you do to keep yourself fit and healthy and full of life and not depressed as fuck. See, everybody's got their own life, and this is why I've really stopped judging people's life. I've really stopped trying to judge their choices. You know, I can characterize them and everything like that, but I won't say that I'm right and you're wrong and your own opinion and your own action doesn't have validity just because I disagree with them. Okay? We're all free to disagree. That's what freedom is, isn't it? It means that we don't have to accept things blindly. I prefer it that way. Not to have to be pushed into something to make a snap decision. Here's the information. Decide. You know, just give me a bit of time. All right? Sometimes an idea is so big that your brain can't fit it in. Right? It just doesn't fit yet. Hasn't been expanded to the point where it's go and can actually digest it. Sometimes you just need to be told the same thing by a number of different people before it eventually starts to sink in, you start to question it, etc. Give people time. Don't try to make them decide. If you try to make people decide, then in what way are you any better than the tyrants that run our frickin' lives? And what are the point? Who's your enemy? Me? The people around you? The little trolls on Facebook? Hell no. These are little distractions. These are little warning signs on your way up the mountainside. Okay? The mountainside that's about to explode! with scumbaggery raining down on everybody. This enormous magma vein of scumbaggery just opens up like a return artery on a penis, you know? Just covers everybody. He's like, oh, God, I got it in my mouth. Oh, God. Oh, the scumbaggery. It's just everywhere. I see it. That's the reason I can't watch TV for very long. Even the programming, regardless of the freaking advertisements and things like that, I just... What is it? It's almost like a micro panic attack starting to sit in. Almost like my body has been attuned to hate all forms of mind control so strongly that it will produce a physical reaction in my body if I get exposed to a form of it. I get incredibly angry if I'm talking to somebody about something and they start repeating themselves. If they repeat themselves more than two or three times, or even more than four times, I'm just starting to go, I actually have to say something to them. Dude, repetition is a form of mind control, okay? Did you know that? So if you keep repeating something to me, it's either a sign that you're mind controlled or you're trying to mind control me. Which is it? Okay? Because a person that is really clear thinking, actually has an idea in their head that they need to get out, doesn't need to repeat themselves all that often. Sometimes they lose their place and they go back and they repeat themselves a little bit in a conversation. Everybody does it. There was this one time when I was ruthless, right? I had an interview with a friend of mine, Catherine, who does the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine magazine. Naturalmedicine.net.nz, I think, is the website. For those of you who want to check out a really, really professionally done natural health mag, freaking unbelievable. But I was really, really ruthless when I edited the interview. I let Kath talk, and Kath is one of the most well-informed natural health people I've ever met. Like, internationally renowned, I reckon she should be. But she's one of those very, sort of a little bit nervous kind of thing. And she will then talk a little bit slower or whatever. So when you get into editing, you'll notice that the words people use, the gaps and the slight pauses in between the words that they use, the repeating of similar ideas, phrases, etc., before they eventually get straight back on track, you can cut all of those out, okay, so that this person sounds like they virtually didn't even need to breathe and attach all of the talking together and connect it with the same meanings, phrases, and things of that nature, so that you can't even tell that it's been edited. It just sounds like somebody who's like the best speaker verge ever, because it's been artificially enhanced to make it better. All right, that's what I did for Kath, because it took me hours and hours. It took me all day. It took me like all night. Shit, it nearly took me 2 days. Holy God. But at the end of that, it took a 52-minute interview recording down to 17 minutes. A 17-minute thrill ride, right? Really cogent, like, wow. That kind of thing. And that would be something I'd like to do if I had the time for every single show. Could you imagine how much easier this would be to listen to if there was no pauses, no ums, no ahs, no latent repetitions of different ideas? It's actually just edited so well and, like a storyteller, goes from one point to the next and actually makes the radio show tell a story, even if it needs to be out of sequence. There's sometimes where you get to the end of a radio show and you think, man, this should have been our opening. It's something that musicians do. I'm a musician, so I know, where you sometimes will get into a rhythm with somebody that you're jamming with, okay? And it's only towards the end of the second song or the third song or whatever that you actually really start to click, and that's when all the best stuff comes out. But because this is live radio and it's all improv'd and that kind of thing, there aren't any rules, there's no backup studio, there's no people signaling us with mics through that kind of deal. You know, we've got our own studios at home that are connected to incredibly fast broadband with some sophisticated machines in the rooms and cords and cables everywhere with good sound gear and headphones and so on and so forth. But other than that, it's we're just ordinary people at home living with our families, okay? We're just kind of like you. So when people like this get into arguments, and I consider myself a very good... what would you call it? Conflict resolution person. If you get two people who are having a stoush, sometimes if you inject me into the situation just to play sort of, you know, devil's advocate slash judge or whatever, or counselor, I can usually get people back on a level playing field, unless there's actually somebody in the wrong. If it's just a misunderstanding, if it's something that can be resolved via forgiveness or an airing of emotions, a lot of times I can hook that up, man. But sometimes people have actually done something really wrong and they refuse to apologize for it. They think they don't have to apologize for it. And sometimes they technically haven't done anything wrong. But I found it always helps to apologize, even if you don't think you've done anything wrong. Because even a psychopath can't utter the phrase, I apologize, I'm sorry. Okay? They can't do it. They can say, I'm sorry you feel that way. Or I don't feel real good about it. Or whatever, you know. They won't actually say, I'm sorry, or I apologize. They can't physically get the words out of their mouth. And that's something I like when I have an argument with somebody, is if they apologize to me. I usually don't start the fights, but if somebody apologizes to me, I consider the fight over, because I know for a fact that this person can't actually be that bad if they're willing to apologize. You know, maybe that's a bit naive, and I'll be shafted by somebody who apologized to me who I continue to trust. Such is life. Things always go according to plan, don't they? Yeah, I thought not. That's what I don't like about people who are so sure of themselves. I haven't been sure of myself for quite some time. And I don't see rationally how anybody can be totally sure of themselves in the information age. You know, we learn 50% more information than we learned last year. Every year, okay? Effectively, the human race's knowledge base doubles every couple years or more. So to say that you believe something really solidly, you'll never be convinced otherwise, is, it just don't work, does it? Not in a world with this much information available. But People use that as an excuse. They say, because the information's available and it's out there, everybody is now responsible for everything that they think because the information is out there. Really? Really? Do you have any idea how dense the internet is? I mean, have you ever sent a toddler, you know, just put them outside your front gate and say, go down to the dairy, pick me up some milk, boy? You know, two, three years old, send him off down the road by himself. You think that's responsible? No. It's not responsible to send people into the internet and saying, oh, you'll find it there. God, you have any idea how many landmines and disinformation and misinformation traps that are out there? How many online cults and gang stalking type crapola that's going on there with frickin' viruses that can be downloaded to your computer and pop-ups and blah, 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 blah. The internet is an entire other world. It's hugely complex, and we're spending more and more of our time on it. And nobody ever shows us how to use it, generally. You know, we learn as we go, or we learn a few simple things that we can do, and then we just hope that nothing fucks up on us. And sure enough, occasionally, it fucking does. Oh, I got a virus. Oh, no. Oh, no. The 12 years of pirated music that I was downloading got deleted. I'll never remember the names of all the tracks as long as I live. You poor bastard. You poor bastard. You see, some people actually lose things of value, but you just lost digital information. It's really valuable stuff, isn't it? Even though it doesn't really exist. Think about that. How much things do we value in society nowadays that don't actually exist? Our Facebook profile. You ever touched your Facebook profile? You know? YouTube videos. You ever held one of the videos in your hand? You see? It's all digital. It's all nothingness. And I'm wondering exactly, like, what part of the human brain gets activated when we're using this stuff? Because I know that I feel different when I go, you know what, I'm not going to use the computer right now. And I, like, go outside and I, like, clean some of the bloody leaves that have fallen on the deck off with an outdoor broom or something like that. And I feel different to when I'm just sitting there reading stuff and looking at a freaking screen and thinking about things, right? And I think I feel better sweeping the stuff off the deck. So what part of our human brain is actually being activated most of the time when we're using the internet for practically everything? I've been worrying about this a lot because I spend a fuckload of time on the internet. it's the only thing you can do on an iMac, bro. Okay? It's the only thing you can do. And work. All right? It's terrible. It really is. And I'm wondering, is my workload reflecting enough of this? Questioning, like, so much of it. And if I'm questioning it, it means other people are going through it as well. They're talking about, like, this internet addiction. You know what the problem with being an addict is because you don't know you're an addict. It's like being crazy or an idiot. You know, it's one of those things that precludes you from accepting it. And you go, oh my God, I'm a Facebook addict. I've been going crazy. This is a really good video that Truther Girl Sonia did about Facebook. If you search the Truther Girl's Facebook, it should come up with the top 10 things why Facebook is bad for you or something like that. And it's actually quite sharp because it does indeed perfectly describe a lot of the emotions and things that I've been feeling when I'm doing too much Facebooking. Okay? Being with friends. That was another interesting thing that I saw, interestingly enough, on Facebook about turning off the computer and actually going around and being with your friends. Right? You got to do that all the time, regularly. And I figured out what it is. Energy transference happens in a conversation. You feed off each other's energy. Right? If one of you's a nasty person, they feed off your energy only and they sap your strength and you just like, ugh. And they don't need to be a bad person or anything like that. They just don't create their own energy and send it to you. But you find if there's somebody else who does create energy in the conversation and sends it towards you, yours goes back and forth, and eventually it starts to meet somewhere in the middle and start growing in a big ball with this really wonderful potential. You can have these amazing conversations. I'm sure you've had them before, where you're just having a great time talking to somebody. Somebody who gets you. Somebody who you can actually talking about something really interesting with. Something that means a lot to you. Something that just means something at all. So many times there's no real back and forth. People can't type as fast on Facebook. It's not like you go in and there's all this group chats and everything like that. People can figure out how to group chat, I suppose. But it really hasn't come mainstream yet, has it? Where you go in to a Facebook group and you click join group chat, and then you've got 10, 15, 20, or even a few thousand people or something like that on a call. How could you manage such a enormous congress and conflation of people? Like, what if you had branches and trees of all these little chat rooms that are built inside one single unique group with X amount of participants, just like they do with online gaming, you know? Like, just roll down a list of, like, how many people are in the group, what their, like, screen name is, and what the topic of their discussion currently today is, you know? I want to go and talk to some people about 9/11. I want to talk to some people about vaccines. I want to talk to some people about scumbaggery. You know, whatever you want. Now, wouldn't that be an interesting way of flipping the anti-social media and actually making it a social media? Because that's kind of like a party atmosphere. When I've been at... I know some people who throw some incredible gigs. Like, they're not the biggest gigs or the most expensive gigs or anything like that, but the way that they do it and the way that they design them, the way that they tune their instruments and the speakers and everything like that. So there's, I'll put it like this, a whole lot of people have no idea what it goes on to putting on a good gig, but they'll notice if you've done something wrong. And these guys just never do anything wrong. And when you go to these parties, there's a certain vibe, there's a certain atmosphere they do because they create these parties with volunteers. And it means that essentially you can lose whoever you're with for a moment and just start talking to whoever the hell is next to you and start almost having a really great conversation with them. And it doesn't matter which area you turn, you can just walk and turn to another area and just join another conversation and say, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. You know? That kind of vibe on the phone or on Skype or whatever, where you can literally go from one group of people just chatting about 9/11 to another group of people talking about it or having all these different rooms available to sit in. Some people just want to listen. Some people actually want to do the talking, you know, it becomes almost impromptu radio shows. But then you come to the point where people start to dominate. Right, because there's certain people are like better at talking than others, and sometimes everybody deserves a turn, but some are just slower and more dull or whatever, and just people just lose interest, you know, and then they go to another room. See, everything sort of works out in that way when you think about it, doesn't it? That's what a party atmosphere really is, a really good one anyway. There's no aggro, there's no violence, there's no domination or whatever, because people are free to come and go as they please and talk about whatever they want in any way that they wish. That's the ideal. That's the future of talk radio, I think. Small personal audiences with a whole bunch of people listening, you know? Like, you're actually sitting there having a conversation with your favorite radio show host. But you're actually on the call for the whole hour. There's so many different ways of doing everything that just nobody even dreamed of, right? You get that recurring thought sometimes. Man, is there something I should be inventing right now or dreaming up When was the last time I dreamed up some shit? It'd be great. But I digress. About communication, isn't it? Isn't that what we're craving? We're craving for people to interact with. Not only people to listen to, but we want people to listen to us. Everybody wishes to express themselves in an open manner. Some just feel kind of nervous about it. And I notice this a lot with people, is that they don't feel comfortable enough. They stutter or something like that when they come on the radio. And they feel as though they might say the wrong thing. And that's just not the way to go about it. I just feel it's just, you need to be yourself. Don't worry about it. You know, you're not going to be judged. You're not going to be attacked or whatever. Just be yourself, bro. Be yourself. You'll be right. Because I think that's all the times when I've become tongue-tied. You know, me, tongue-tied, not knowing what the hell to say, is when I've been trying to cater what I'm saying to people I think wouldn't get me if I told them exactly what I thought. And I should have just told them exactly what I thought, you know? Chips fall where they may. And I think we should all be that way. Bugger it. I'll tell the truth. I'm not going to try and offend anybody. I'm just going to be a little bit honest. And occasionally people really don't like people who are too honest around them. They really don't. They go, okay, all right, let's just chill for a bit. Okay, we don't need to get into a big stouchy argument. We don't have to get all bruised egos about this one way or the other. What we do need is a little bit of progress. Wouldn't some progress be nice? Wouldn't it be so cool if we didn't have to go in frickin' circles? Wouldn't it be great as if instead of having a revolution, which means to go round in a circle, we have some evolution, we actually change, we improve. We go in a different direction for a change, right? I'm quite sick of the election cycle. I'm quite sick of the repeating patterns. I mean, God. Oh my God. Every day. Every day. Really, really sick of it. All the election, the so on and so forth. Voting, not voting. Who cares? Oh, the planet flat earth, not flat earth. Who cares? Well, no, pedophile ring. There's no pedophile rings. Who cares? Right? Arguing about stuff doesn't really help. Debating it, getting to the truth of it, that helps. Because if you have a good, ba-boom, right there, honest debate, that kind of thing, then baby, you can eliminate some nonsense, especially if both sides are honest, all right? If one goes, whoa, hey, you've actually got something there, bro. I didn't see that. Okay, well, this throws my argument into a twist a little bit. But you know what the problem is, bro? He goes, what? There's a couple of things that I've presented with you that have also thrown a spanner in the works with your argument at the same time. He's like, yeah. Like, so we're both wrong. It's like, yeah. Well, we're not both wrong. It's just neither of us are completely right. How could that be? How could two people who disagree both be right? Maybe it's because you made an assumption about what the other person thinks and why they think it, before you listened to them explain what they think and why they think it. That's what it is. A failure to communicate. That's what really Fs people off. Like, if your friend, I don't know, heard a really bad rumor about you or something like that, and then posted on YouTube or whatever about that rumor, without coming to talk to you first to see if it was true, you'd be pretty pissed off with them, wouldn't you? You go, why did you do that, bro? Why? I've known you for years. Somebody comes out of random on the woodwork and sends you an email, and all of a sudden you make a video about how corrupt I am? What the hell? Are you mental? Do you not want to be my friend anymore? That's what it says, and you get that feeling of loss, like you've just lost a really good dear friend. Like, what the fuck happened to them? You know, like those people who go and join a cult and they come back and their family goes, that's not the same person. No. The person I knew isn't there anymore. There's something else that came back from that church compound. All right, that kind of real loss that you can actually see or you can feel, the loss of a real good friend because of something they just said about you. Whoa, damn, that's painful stuff, man. To deal with that. And for those like myself, and I know that there's a number of other people who listen to the show who really, really strong empathy response when you hear about people getting screwed over and stuff like that. And it actually is quite painful to listen to sometimes, but I understand. But you do have to endure a little bit of pain if you want to have any real personal growth. That's what I've found. The only valuable lessons I've ever had have been lessons that cost me a lot. And that is a very valuable lesson in itself. And it cost me a lot in order to learn it many times. So I'm always grateful when bad things happen to me because it means that I've finally got the opportunity to learn something for a change and stop pretending that I know it all, because it's every time that I start thinking that I know it all, that's when something will show up to show me that I'm an idiot. Or rather, something will show up to show me up. Isn't it? You ever get that? As soon as you start getting too big for your boots, something just comes, whoop-bam! In your face. That's classic, man. I remember this one time. What was I? I was in high school, and I was verbally abusing a friend of mine, and then I walked right into a lamppost. Ka-dong! Instant karma, bro. Instant karma. Oh my god, that stuff is sweet. I mean, does life become a lot more bearable when you start looking for the things, start looking forward to the things that cause you pain and frustration? See, that's what I figured. I figured if life's going to be, you know, terrible for a lot of reasons, but really great for a lot of reasons, then I think that the road to happiness is sort of to enjoy the good things as sort of like a carte blanche, God-given sort of thing, but to really, really crave the bad things, because that's actually what's going to change stuff, right? And to want bad things to happen. Now, that might sound kind of like suicidal or crazy or something like that. Far from it. The whole fear of having bad things happen is what really paralyzes people. If you're not really expecting it, but you're just like, well, if it comes along, it comes along, thank goodness. You know? It's going to teach me something. It's going to teach me something real big, you know? It'll be great. If you got that kind of attitude, imagine what is going to faze you, right? There have been times when I've been so depressed, so broke, and everything's breaking on me, and everything's screwed, and then all of a sudden, after a day or two, sun comes out, and everything's fine. And I was like, well, thank God I overreacted that quickly. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to get upset for long enough to satisfy my urge to yell and scream at the terrible misfortunes that have been plaguing me. I mean, seriously, if you've got some bad stuff happening to you, just let it out, is my philosophy. Mate, when you are used to leading a protest and you got that kind of set of lungs on you, sometimes you really do need to let out your frustrations orally and not in a sexual way, although that would be nice, in a heterosexual way. Yes. Quite nice indeed. But I digress. Stop laughing. It's not that funny. Well, I am a cunning linguist and a master debater, so naturally I would come up with that, wouldn't I? But I digress again on a tangentry note as we return to the main issue of discerning precisely what kind of behaviour we ourselves are exhibiting. Is this the kind of behaviour that we'd like somebody to treat us with, you know? How many times have you put a comment on somebody's wall or something that you disagree with or whatever that is a comment that you wouldn't have really liked to have received? You know, it's not helping me in a general way, actually. It's not helping me. What is it doing? Is it wasting my frickin' time? Is it criticizing me in a way that could be less dickish? You know? A little less dickish? Maybe I would have accepted that criticism if it was said in a different way. And people don't understand, like, when you've got thousands upon thousands of people who you communicate with in general, who send you messages and so on and so forth, you get huge, huge emotional drain when a lot of that stuff is nasty, okay? It can actually really fuck up your day, honestly. And that's why sometimes if somebody's getting a bit nasty or whatever, I'll just, I'm not gonna participate in this anymore. I'll just make a little final remark and say, okay, guys, I enjoyed talking, but this guy's just giving me grief, and I'm sorry, I can't. I just can't. I've got other stuff to do, eh? And that's the end of it. Because if you spend all your time looking for the abuse that people give you, how exactly are you going to determine what's better about yourself? How to improve yourself? See, it's the difference between just criticism and just being nasty. Criticism should be very constructive. My producer back in the day called it plussing. He doesn't come to the end of my radio show and tell me, Vinny, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have done that. And he says, maybe you could do a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that and a little bit more of that. And no or else or anything like that. Just these are things that you can do to improve it. You do that every day. Constantly, every day, try to improve what it is you're doing. You get pretty good at it, right? If you're doing it every day, practicing guitar, whatever, isn't it? I am at a loss for words when I see things like people having a go at each other over nothing. You know, something that could be calmly debated in person over a joint, you know? Something that doesn't even need to be a fight. If you don't start none, there won't be none. I mean, sure, we might get a little bit pissed off about things from time to time. It's to be expected. It's called life. It happens. But to make ultimatums, burn bridges, or like just go full on verbal abuse. It's just not cool, bro. What's worse about it is that it causes you to question somebody's being. Like, it could be somebody that you've known for a long time and you're all of a sudden now questioning everything that you know about them. Now, that's a very good thing to do, because often you'll have psychopaths that are in your life. And they'll be in your life for a long time. You won't even know that they're there. You might be married to them, you know, or they might have been your best friend since childhood or something like that. But as soon as you've lost your usefulness to them, they change. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. This person's all of a sudden using me to destroy me. Right? He's using me against myself. All the time that we've been together, everything that we've been through together, he's suddenly using against me in order to hurt me. For no reason. Oh, mate. Any idea what that'll do to you psychologically? It'll give you some frickin' trust issues, bro. I'm telling you. He'll give you a short fuse. It'll tell you about warning signs. All right? There's a hell of a lot of people that are not in my life because they made one comment that gave me an even slight little warning sign and blocked them. And just a very, very tiny list of people that have been blocked and got a message to me through a third party apologizing for whatever the hell it was, or just demonstrating that they're not actually a dickhead who's out to frickin' insult me. And they get unblocked. You know, simple as that. It's like managing a garden. You've got to take the weeds out if you want your garden to bear the nice, beautiful vegetables and fruit that you need in order to sustain yourself, isn't it? Everything is like everything else. That's why I think the fractal universe theory is basically the way to go. Most things work in matter of general principle. A lot of things are like other things. The moon looks round, the sun looks round, and they have a little eclipse where they perfectly match up. And the ancients knew about them long before they even happened. They had like chart graphs and things like that. Isn't that friggin' amazing? It's not really that amazing when you realise that they had like 20 to 30 different technologies that have been unearthed by archaeologists over the last half century that were actually more advanced than the shit we got running today. Okay, you know? This world is full of amazing stuff. How anybody can devote themselves to a belief system of any rigidity just astounds me. It's like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the stupid decision that I made to go to university right after high school, after repeating the last year of high school. That's how little attention that I paid to the schoolwork in my last year of high school. But that's how much I wanted to go to university for some reason. You know, I see these TV commercials about these students getting drunk and having fun, etc., etc. Go down there and basically have my life turned upside down and destroyed, and it turns up being the worst year of my life. But through that pain, through that suffering, through that loss, through that complete destruction of everything that I'd believed and everything that I'd worked for and everything that I'd ever built in my entire life up to that point, it is exactly what I needed to lose in order to gain the motivation to do what I'm doing now. All right? See, that's what I mean about wanting the bad things to happen to you. Because only after those bad things happen to you that you understand what it is you're fighting for. You understand what it feels like. That's why I often get upset again when you see these arguments, because I get the feeling that these people don't understand what it feels like to be spoken to the way they're being spoken to. The way you are speaking to me right now is not an offence like, oh my God, it's so nasty and offensive, you're using swear words. No, I'm talking about like emotional offence, you know, when you're actually insulting my intelligence. When you're being cruel, when you're making assumptions and deductions about things I never said, that is not pleasant for anybody. Some people, for some reason, I don't know, allegedly, and maybe they're just bullshitting or something, but they think that they can turn that stuff off. Oh, I'm not going to take it personally. Really? I found the only way to not take it personally is not to take it at all. It's like, no, thank you. I'm off in this direction. Thank you very much. Off you go, son. Off you go. See, that's how that works. I've got a real issue with patience. I found that my patience is wearing thin, and I think it. What is it? Is it because I'm getting more discerning? Is it because I'm getting older? Is it because I'm getting more arrogant and self-important, or something like that? You ever get that? You start wondering if you're actually turning into some kind of self-important douchebag, or whether or not you've actually wizened up to the point where you're actually capable of surgically grafting pieces of crap out of your life that are actually a waste of your effing time, because you can see all the warning signs in them that they're actually useless pieces of crap that just won't accomplish anything other than waste your frickin' time. Right? Do you just stop calling them? And you start doing your own thing. And if they wake up, if they want to support you, they come back, right? It's like if you love something, let it go. And that's what it is. And you find that none of them come back. You make whole new groups of friends and everything like that that actually support you in doing what you're doing, because you weren't just remaining friends with somebody just because you had the same job, just because you needed and you wanted somebody to talk to, because to do it all by yourself, surrounded by all the rest of the dicks that work there or study there or whatever there, is just too horrible to contemplate without this person I can at least communicate with on some level and have it and have an okay time with. But if you're not satisfied with that, the only friends you want to have are those of extraordinary quality, you're going to have to sieve through a lot of dirt and muck and scum and time wasters and idiots in order to get yourself there. All right? You got to surround yourself with those that you think are better than you at something. Well, really, that is all it is. Everybody's got to have their own talent, their own reason for existing. Because who was it? I think it might have been Mark Twain or something. He said there's nothing more boring than somebody who talks about their employment. They have to be employed to do something, and they've been working at it for so long that they can't actually talk about anything else. They don't know anything else. They haven't had time to do anything else because they've been too busy freaking working and then coming home and being so tired from working that they can only absorb brainwashing and propaganda and then go to sleep and repeat. You know, you're wasting, in my opinion, by working and then just coming home and being entertained and that being your entire life cycle. You're missing out on character development. You're missing out on relationship development. You're missing out on networking. You're missing out on so many things. And we get bought into that because of a fear of scarcity, fear of not having enough. We don't think we'll be able to pay the bills at the end of the week if we quit our job and become a synthar player. You know, and you might be right. But if it actually is your calling, if it wasn't just something you flipped out, if it's actually something you've thought about long and hard and you're actually quite good at it, and it's something you're prepared to commit the entire fabric of your existence to, you'll find as soon as you quit your job, another little gig comes up that allows you to keep doing what you actually really want to do, but also get a little bit of money on the side. And then other stuff starts turning up. But it doesn't turn up before you need it. You know, you think about, I need $5,000 for this holiday at the end of the year. $5,000 didn't come in January when you want to take your holiday in December. Okay? It'll come a couple of days before you plan your trip. Right, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, whatever you're planning, whatever you're thinking up there, write it down. What is this worth to me? How much do I need this month? Exactly what you want. Okay? That money will show up. Like, no shit, bro. See it happen. A lot of people don't have the confidence to actually just sit there and go, okay, I had a really good day today, so I'm going to pay myself $500. All right, and you go, boom, I got $500. It's going to come. It's going to come from somewhere. I don't know where it is, but it's going to come. And it does. Exactly. When you need it. At a time when you needed exactly $500. You see? That's how you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. That you're being who you really are. And unless you're having those experiences on a daily basis, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're in for a bit of a shock. You're going to need a career change, possibly. That's my diagnosis, and my neurosis, and my analysis. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Donate today, and also at American Freedom Radio. We'll see you again.